Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Apostle Paul did some terrible things before his Damascus Road experience with Jesus. In writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, Paul recounts his bad decisions and then tells of the boundless grace of God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer wraps up a series on making the best of a bad decision. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 for some encouraging words for those times when we have hurt others.
You know, if the truth were known, there's some of you who've done some pretty terrible things. And I want to take out a moment here. And I want to speak, first of all, to the people who are listening to this in prison. We know that many people do. Did you know that there are those who huddle around their radios in prison? We know that because we get letters from them. And I have a word for the people who are in prison today. But I also have a word for those who are listening who aren't in prison, but who should be. I want you to be listening too. And then I have a word for those of us who probably shouldn't be in prison, but our hearts make up for an awful lot of evil. It's a way of saying I'm speaking to all of us. Your sin is no match for God's super grace. Your sin is no match for God's super grace. You say, well, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid, Paul says. We should never take advantage of grace. But no matter where you are, no matter what your past is, the Apostle Paul is here to tell you that God is a super forgiver for super sinners. Now notice that the Apostle Paul admitted who he was and what he had done. He acknowledged God's grace, but he also acknowledged God's plan. Don't you love it? We're walking through the passage, and your Bible is open before you. Notice it says, the saying is trustworthy and deserves a full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Notice it says in verse 12, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Here he takes a blasphemer, he takes a murderer, he takes somebody who enjoyed violence with sadistic delight, and he so transforms him. He says, I've appointed you as a minister, and what I'm going to do is to use you as an example, as a super sinner, the chief of sinners. Because I want people to understand, I want them to be able to understand that I can take a murderer and make him into a minister. And a persecutor can become a preacher, God says. So I'm going to choose the most unlikely candidate, the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to show my mercy to him. And I'm going to consider him to be the chief of sinners. And God did this because he knew that in the third millennium, there would be some women, some young mothers who've had abortions who wonder whether or not God can forgive them. And there are some men who've lived immorally and they've ruined lives and they've brought children into this world that they are not caring for. And they've messed up other people's lives and they're going to wonder, is there hope for me? And God says, if you're looking for the who is the super sinner, sorry, I've already given that award to somebody that I chose to save and to show my grace to, the Apostle Paul. Why do you think Jesus appeared to Paul like this, to Saul, on the way? I mean, this was an unusual thing. It wasn't, you know, hey, somebody snuggling up to him and saying, have you heard of the four spiritual laws? This was really quite different. He's riding along. He wants to kill Christians. He wants to take them bound to Jerusalem. And suddenly a light comes. Jesus appears to him. And he says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Jesus. You're the one. You're persecuting me because when you hurt my body, you're hurting me. And so I'm the one that you have to deal with." And he begins to recognize this is the Lord. Why did God do it that way? Probably because there was nobody around who'd have had the nerve to witness to this guy. I mean, who in the world would want to go to the Apostle Paul and give him a witness? Who would want to go, to use the analogy, to Osama bin Laden and say, "Would you love to believe on Jesus?" Nobody. Hey, this guy's beyond hope. He's set in his mind. He's a violent man. You let him be. And Jesus says, "Well, I want to choose somebody who's really rotten. I want to choose somebody who's deep in the pit, and I want to exalt him to prove to people that I can, what I can do with a chief of sinners. And so I'm going to have to do this one myself." And so Jesus comes down from heaven and speaks to the Apostle Paul, and he's radically converted. You say, "Well, Pastor Lutzer, what did Paul do in relationship to his past and relationship to others? Did he ask forgiveness for what he had done to those whose lives he ruined? There were some whom were killed. He couldn't do anything about that." The Bible doesn't tell us, probably because of problems with geography and terms of length of time and the whole bit. But I have no doubt that if he had the opportunity, he would have. Because remember, this is the same Apostle Paul who wrote in the book of Ephesians, he says, "Lay aside all bitterness and all wrath and all clamor and all evil speaking, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." That's Paul. Tender-hearted. So tender that if a leaf should fall on his heart, it would leave an imprint. He says, "Be tender-hearted." And he's the same Apostle Paul who wrote in the book of Galatians, he says, "When a brother is overtaken with a fault, restore him," he says, "with a spirit of meekness," knowing that you could be in the same predicament. And the word restore, the Greek word restore, was often used for the setting of a bone. I've never had a bone set, but I suppose that if you break your bone, you don't want somebody in there with a crowbar trying to get this thing to set. You want tenderness. Some of you who are listening to this message today, you have broken bones, and others have broken bones because others have broken your bones, but you've also broken other people's bones. And the Apostle Paul would say, make sure to set this very, very carefully. If you've wronged someone, admit it, not just superficially. "Well, you know, I might have done something wrong." What do you mean you might have? Just say, "I did it." And feel the other person's pain. I think of a man who's in his 80s, a father who really abused his children, and he's dying now as a believer, and he's kind of said he's sorry. But think of how different it would be if he'd get down on his knees and say, "Kids, please forgive me. I wronged you terribly." And whenever necessary, what we need to do is to make sure that we even make restitution to set those bones. If you've stolen something, think of ways in which you may be able to give it back. If you've been able to hurt someone, do what you can. Do what you can to make it right. There are some situations that you can't straighten out. I realize that. The people may have died. The circumstances may be such that there's nothing that you can do. But we all need to be sure that we've done whatever possible to be restored to our sin and our part in hurting others. And we ask forgiveness, that we might be forgiven as God has forgiven us. Well, it's a marvelous story of grace, isn't it? I end today with the story of a man who wrote to me from prison. Perhaps you've heard me mention it before, and he wrote to me some time ago and said, "Pastor Lutzer, I was listening to you on the radio, and I have raped four women. That's why I'm in jail. Can I too be forgiven? Good question. Something within us wants to say, I hope not, because you deserve hell. And he does, and so do we. I wrote back and I said, I want you to visualize two trails. One trail is a very messy trail, deep ruts that go down. It's just an ugly trail, mud ruts. The other trail is very, very well traveled. Now I want you to visualize that 18 inches of snow come, cover both trails. Can you tell the difference between this trail and that trail after the snow arrives? No, they're all the same. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God can forgive you and cover your sin. Through Jesus Christ, the chief of sinners was converted. And God can convert you too and forgive you so that you can solicit the forgiveness and the grace of others. Super abounding grace for super sinners. Let's pray. Father, we now ask in the name of Jesus that you might work in all hearts who've listened. And before I close this prayer, what is it that you need to say to God today? You may be here and you're not converted at all. There was never a time when you believed in Jesus. Why don't you do that right where you are? Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. I acknowledge you as Lord, as my Savior right now. For those of us who know him, may we do all that we can to forgive as we've been forgiven. Father, we are a needy people. We believe lies that we tell ourselves. We need a revelation of Jesus. We need a revelation of truth. Would you do that? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and in a moment you're going to be given information as to how these messages, making the best of a bad decision, can be yours. I suppose there are few series that I've ever preached that so emphasize grace and give hope to those who have really fallen into sin, those who have turned their back on God. And here are reminders of the fact that God is able to reconcile you today. The grace of God is not limited. I ask you to open your heart to Christ.
Today, Erwin Lutzer concluded, When We Have Hurt Others, the last message in a 7-part series on making the best of a bad decision. Next time, we begin a series on the drama of redemption, a look at the plan of God from Genesis to Revelation. Making the best of a bad decision can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.